So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F-35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. Wisconsin Eye is interviewing officials on the front lines of dealing with the COVID-19 health emergency. Kathy Blumenfeld is secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. It regulates many of the businesses that Wisconsin residents may be financially struggling would use in this emergency. Secretary Blumenfeld, thanks very much for talking to Wisconsin Eye. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. I'm happy to be here with you today.
Give us an outline. What businesses that Wisconsinites might be using more and more often in this health emergency does DFI have oversight over?
Great. I'll step back just a second and talk about our mission at DFI.
Thank you.
It really is fourfold. And first off is to protect the safety and soundness of our state chartered financial institutions, to protect the investing public, to facilitate commerce, and to build financial capability in Wisconsinites. So we oversee literally hundreds of thousands of entities within the state of Wisconsin. That includes 166 banks, 122 credit unions, about 16,000 licensed financial services organizations, 16,000 security agents, and over 10,000 charitable organizations. Mm-hmm. A big job. We're a smaller agency, but we say we're small but mighty.
And in terms of some of the businesses that Wisconsin residents may be using in this very interesting and difficult time?
So obviously banks and credit unions come to mind first off. Some of our low to moderate income folks may also look at licensed loan companies, which include title lenders and pawnbrokers, payday lenders, check cashers, credit service organizations. We don't oversee the rent-to-own group, but we do, they still must comply with our Wisconsin Consumer Act, which we also oversee.
Boy, title lending and check cashing and these other companies, have they seen an uptick in business given the health emergency and the resulting financial squeeze on some of our residents?
So right now, all the data isn't in, and I don't think they really tell the full picture because there is some seasonality to it all.
Right.
For example, at this time of year, typically tax refunds are coming in, so people will use those as a kind of buffer to get through and maybe not take out a payday loan.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we know about over 90% of payday lenders earn $75,000 or less. So most of those people have received a recent stimulus check, which should be helping them as well. So we haven't seen the uptick yet, but part of what we're doing and our team is really focused on is trying to get ahead of the curve. And really, with the guidance that we've put out, we learned a lot through the Great Recession. And we know that during these times, the environment is ripe for bad actors to come in and really prey upon vulnerable people. So we're watching this whole environment very, very closely.
I have always been intrigued by the national stat. What percentage of low and middle class people do not have your traditional bank accounts, either bank or credit or access to credit unions?
So I don't have that actual percentage at my disposal right now, but there is a significant percentage of them because they're availing themselves of these alternate sources of income. And interestingly enough, the Pew Research Foundation just did a study on those that are taking advantage of payday lenders, mm-hmm. and over 80% actually have access to other sources of funds. So whether it be borrowing from a friend, a credit card, even having a relationship with a bank or credit union, yet they choose these sources because they're convenient, they're fast, there's no judgment, they don't feel like there's any judgment placed on them. and they're assured they're going to get the loan. They know going in they're going to get the loan, so there isn't that waiting period. So if people are not banked right now, it's a really good time to start establishing those relationships or trying to build towards that as a longer term goal.
That national stat that came out before the COVID-19 emergency, what percentage of Americans could not deal with a household emergency, a car that breaks down costing more than $400? Wasn't it more than 50%?
Yes, and in Wisconsin, it is 53%. So 53% of Wisconsin residents live paycheck to paycheck and do not have enough to muster up $400 for an emergency such as a car breakdown or a health issue that comes up. And that is a staggering statistic in my mind. And something, again, the mission of the Department of Financial Institution, we spend a lot of energy, a lot of effort working with people all over the state to improve financial literacy and financial capability, because that is something I know in Wisconsin we can do better. And that 53%, Steve, is before COVID.
Yes.
So we will do the survey again this year. I'm afraid to see what that number is going to be. But we work through the Governor's Council on Financial Literacy with people all over the state and in diverse fields coming together to try and do what we can to improve financial literacy.
Do you know if the 53%, which is a new number to me, thank you for providing it, is that higher than in our neighboring states?
It is on par with our neighboring states. It's a study that was done by FINRA, and I'm happy to share that with you after this call.
Okay. Thank you very much. You mentioned the industries that Wisconsin residents may be using in this financial crunch time. Payday lending, car title lending, check cashing, pawn brokers. Which of these is the biggest in terms of, is sales the right term, or in terms of number, the volume of business that they do, which is the biggest?
So payday lending went through reform in 2010, went into effect in 2011. And as a result, we've seen the number of payday lenders reduce rather dramatically.
On the other hand,
the licensed loan companies have increased. So many organizations are duly chartered, meaning they're both a payday lender and a licensed loan company. So we have about 550 loan companies in Wisconsin, and they write over $700 million in loans.
$700 million?
Mm-hmm.
Per year. Excuse me, I'm just trying to clarify.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Thank you. Go ahead.
The payday lenders to the tune of $26 million, and those are usually $1,500 or less. So they're smaller loans, and they're 90 days or less.
And what's the amount? What's the average? You just gave it. But let's go back to it. The average amount of the loan for both the payday lending and the car title lending, please.
I don't have the car title lenders information broken out. But I do know that the payday loans can only go up to $1,500, and it's the less of a percentage of income, 35% of your income, or $1,500.
But having covered the Capitol for a few years, I know the debate over payday lending involves the rollover. So I guess my question is there a limit on interest rates and number of times and amount of money that can be rolled over?
So we're one of only six states in the United States that doesn't have a cap on loans.
Okay.
So we do not, when that reform went through, it did not have an interest rate cap. So we see remarkable interest rates up into the 400% and 500% rate. Some of the reforms that were put in place, though, is that trying to break the cycle of payday lending, because that's where, sometimes, people need money very quickly, very fast, paying, $75 to get $1,500 might be okay once or twice, but they are not allowed to do that the third time. And we administer a database for every payday loan to make sure that that does not happen. What has happened, though, is many of what were payday loans are now loans that are 91 days in nature. So a lot of that payday lending business has really moved into the licensed financial services arena with longer loans than a two-week payday cycle.
I realize this would be a policy decision made by the governor and lawmakers, but do you, as secretary, believe that there should be an interest cap on payday loans?
So again, in the administration, it's not my job necessarily to promulgate legislation. I think that's for the legislature to do. We certainly have the data and can support that. But what I want is for, again, to improve the financial capability of Wisconsinites. And that means taking advantage of being educated on their finances, taking control of their finances, and making sure that they have the best offer that they possibly can. And oftentimes, again, people are using these payday lenders or high interest rate loans, one, because they don't know where to turn, they don't know who to trust, they need something really fast, really quickly, they're afraid of being judged. I think these are things that we as a state can overcome, and we're trying really hard to educate people that live in Wisconsin to make even better financial decisions for themselves.
Well, what should someone... you said you're trying to get ahead of these trends and watch them closely. What should someone who may have just used a, payday lending, car title lending, or check cashing, or is contemplating going to one of these companies, what should they know?
Well, one, first and foremost, they should check to see if they're licensed. And you can check our website, you can call us, we will help you with that. Because if they're not licensed with the Department of Financial Institutions and you file a complaint afterwards, we don't have recourse to go after them. So that's a really easy thing.
Excuse me.
The second would be to shop around, do your homework, because interest rates vary widely at different institutions. Third, check alternative sources. One, could you cut some of your expenses first off so that you didn't need to borrow? Second, are there friends or family that you may be able to borrow from? Do you have a credit card that might have a much lower, it might seem high interest for a credit card, but it might be much, much lower than what you're about to enter into? And two, check out your banks and credit unions. Go to local UW Extension actually does a lot of financial counseling. There's many nonprofit organizations that will do financial counseling. It takes a little bit more time, but in the end run, there's probably an alternative out there that would be better suited.
Have you seen these industries that we've just been talking about? Have they changed their practices in the in light of the COVID-19 emergency? And if they have, have they changed it to, the term I hear in the Capitol, to become more predatory or to help someone who may be in a financial squeeze right now?
So at DFI, we're complaint-driven. So our complaints generally lag a while, and oftentimes by the time we get it, it's hard to help. So again, trying to get out in the front end. And we see these organizations as really, and there's an opportunity to step up and be a positive part of the financial solution for those that are struggling in Wisconsin. So while we haven't seen or gotten any complaints recently that are specifically COVID-related, we have seen and we are aware that they have put some measures in place to actually help be part of the solution. So help stepping up and being part, which is great. So things like waiving late fees and NSF fees, deferring payments, offering extended payment plans, stopping or suspending their outbound calling, kind of those predatory practices, lowering interest rates, lowering payments. So they've actually been stepping up to the table from what we have seen and heard in a positive way. And I'm grateful for that and urge them to continue to do that.
And you used a term that, can you just clarify, NCF fees? What are those?
Non-sufficient
funds, overdraft. Okay. But I saw a press release from the agency. One of the reasons that we're doing the interview is you kind of put some of these businesses on notice that you're going to be the DFI is going to be the cop on the beat, right?
Yep. So similar to like the Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection, DATCAP, who we work really closely with, this is a consumer protection issue. And we license these financial, non-depository financial services organizations. So we want to put them on alert that just like DATCAP would say, hey, don't do price gouging, we don't want to see that on this front either. This is an opportunity to step in and step up and be part of the solution. It's not time to take advantage of and prey upon people that are already vulnerable and already struggling. You know, that 53% of Wisconsinites living paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
We don't want to see that. So part of when we license an organization, we look at their character and fitness. And so we're saying we don't have all the tools that other states have. We don't have that usury cap, that interest rate limit in Wisconsin. So we're going to use other means to ensure that, you know, these organizations are being part of the solution.
Now, when your agency works with DATCAP, one of the things DATCAP is enforcing, aren't they charged with enforcing the prohibition on evictions for the next few months? Or, do you know anything about that, or should I check with Ag?
Probably a better DATCAP discussion, but yes, I mean, I think that they're engaged in that and watching that as well.
I was curious, Secretary, your agency last week issued a warning, and I want to get this right, warned of COVID scams. Can you give us some examples?
Sure. So in our securities area, again, learning a lot from the Great Recession and seeing all the scams that happened during that time, we're part of a national task force that is looking at COVID-related scams out there. So what we've seen just in the past 3 months are as many as 200,000 new domains that have been registered that are related to COVID-19. Now, not all of those, some of those, many of those are very legitimate, but we know that some of them will turn out to be fraudsters, and those will relate to either investment or investment-related schemes. So there's a network of a task force of people from across the country, analysts that are looking at those and watching them, because we, again, want to get ahead of the curve in terms of what might happen, and they know how to analyze those. So we want to get ahead, too, in terms of education of the citizens of Wisconsin. And what we're telling people is that if you get approached by, you know, someone selling PPE or someone with the greatest virus, you know, vaccination, anything that is COVID related, first of all, just, you know, do your homework on that that offer. And if someone's pressuring you, it's very time sensitive. If you don't reply by midnight tonight, you know, this offer expires, I'd take a look at that. I check to see if they're registered again, they're licensed with us, because that will also be very telling. And again, we have more control to go after someone if they're not. So, and if you're just not sure, ask, reach out, call us, call a friend or family, run it by someone. But please, please have your antennas up with these investment schemes, because we know they're out there. We know they have. We've had one complaint, and it's under investigation right now.
Did the person who filed the complaint, had they lost money?
Yes.
Do you want to give an amount, since we are not identifying?
I can't talk about it because it's under investigation. So, we know that we'll have more and more investigations that are COVID-related coming up. So,
yeah, I appreciate that. Now, these pitches, invest now, invest in 24 hours. They're all coming through social media, correct?
Some are coming through social media. Some are text offers. Some are emails. So they really can come from, some are phone calls. They really can come from any which way.
Did you say nationally 200,000 new domains have been registered?
Mm-hmm.
Does your agency?
No, just nationally.
Nationally.
200,000. New domains with a COVID-related word have been registered. So Some might be very legitimate businesses, but we know a fraction of that is going to be fraudsters.
And your agency certainly doesn't have the expertise of the staff to go in on the front end and to look at whether some of these are legitimate or just pure out fraud and scams, correct?
Correct. So that's why we're part of this national task force through our trade association that has analysts that are helping to look through that. And we have a national database that we share information with our counterparts in other states so that if we see it in one place immediately, we all know about it and can watch for it. So okay. I'd imagine there'll be more and more guidance that comes out throughout this pandemic.
So far you've had one complaint about a scam that is under investigation by DFI?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Before we turn to other subjects, is there any changes in consumer protection laws that your agency will be recommending as a result of lessons learned during the COVID-19 emergency?
I'll just say that we did a full-out strategic plan late last year, and one of the three pillars of our strategic plan is modernization. So everywhere I look in our statutes, they're, even before COVID, they are ripe for modernization. COVID, like in many areas, whether it's technology, work from home, is going to shine the light on some of these needs for modernization. So we always work with our stakeholders, we'll work with legislators, and really help move that modernization effort along. I can give you one example that stands out very clearly, which is the Wisconsin Consumer Act. Decades ago, I think when anyone could conceive the most expensive automobile out there would maybe someday grow to be $25,000, that is the limit at which the Wisconsin Consumer Act covers today. And we all know that, you know, cars cost a lot more than that and loans are. So that would just be one example. It's not necessarily COVID related, but there are many examples like that. And that limit hasn't been changed literally, I think, almost 50 years. So our statutes are ripe for opportunity. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, and if you were testifying before a committee in the Capitol and speaking about this 25K limit that hasn't changed for, would you say, 50 years, what would you recommend as a new limit?
I'd have to do so. I don't have any research or data with me to support that. But, you know, if you think about, you know, an average car is in the 20s, but some of the more expensive ones, you know, I don't know. I could throw out a number, but it wouldn't be supported by anything other than me.
Right. Okay. Now, last question related to COVID-19. Resources on the DFI's website.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about some of those, please?
We have a special. If you sign on to our website, front and center, you will have all of our guidance at your fingertips. And then depending if you're looking in the banking area, credit union area, securities area, charitable orgs, you can drill down and find the very specific guidance that we have. We've tried to organize it so it's very easy to find. We also link to our counterparts, whether it's the governor's website on COVID, which has is a great resource, Wisconsin Department of Health Services, and other areas that have good COVID-related information. We also partner very closely. I'm on calls all day, all week with our federal counterparts, whether it's NCUA, FDIC, you know, all of the organizations we're working with really to make sure that we are aligned in our guidance and we're not confusing our banks and credit unions and other businesses that we regulate. So we've had a lot of information sharing, and that has been super helpful in terms of making sure that anything unique to Wisconsin, I don't know if you're aware, but over 90% of our banks and credit unions are state chartered. Yeah, and that's really unique. Most states are around 50-50 in terms of federal charter to state charter. So since we have the bulk of the institutions, we want to make sure that we work really, really closely. And for exams, examinations of banks for safety and soundness is a big part of what we do. So we work really closely with our federal counterparts on that.
And that's one of my final questions, because we're almost out of time. Generally, our banks, our state chartered banks and credit unions are in strong shape? Strong shape?
Yes. Fortunately, we went into this pandemic with strong financials on our banks and credit unions. And so they've really stepped up, whether it's the PPP program, the loans that were going to small businesses, working with their members and their customers to make sure they're doing, you know, loan modifications, fee reductions, interest rate reductions, anything that they can to help. As pillars of the community, as these community financial institutions are, they see and are proud to stand up and help people during this pandemic. And we've been really, really pleased with what we've seen in the response of our state chartered banks and credit unions. And the Wisconsin Bankers Association, Wisconsin Credit Union League have done a great job helping reinforce and get the message out. And even had some calls where we were jointly together, working together, banks and credit unions. So that was very heartwarming for me to see.
We've got only about a minute left, so I want to talk about your role as a leader of the Task Force on Student Debt. Now, I know the governor's office just announced the members, and by the way, it's a huge task force, but that's not my question. When do you think the task force might have recommendations? Are we months away, a year away? When?
So we're going to take an aggressive approach. We got delayed because of the pandemic, so we had our first launch last week. We have 8 meetings scheduled between now and the middle of August, and our hope is to wrap up in September with a final report of recommendations to the governor so that they can be incorporated in the next biennial budget process.
Part of the debate over student debt is this question. Do you think students should be able to refinance their debt?
So since 90% of the federal student debt is federal debt, we can do things on the state level. We'll definitely explore refinancing as a possibility among many, many things. Whether the legislature would have the appetite to do that right now, I'm not sure. But we'll leave it up to the experts that we've convened in this task force to come up with the recommendations, and we'll see where we land in the middle of August.
So what's your elevator speech message to Wisconsin residents who may be struggling financially when they think about some of these payday lending, car title lending, and check cashing opportunities?
Really, don't rush. Take your time, do your homework, shop around, and make good decisions. There's lots of alternatives out there. And also look inward to see, are there things you can cut for a while that will help you get through this time? And if you are a student debt borrower, call your servicer, make sure you're in the right program. There may be other programs that are better suited and might offer you lower payments during this time.
Okay, and last time, give a plug for the DFI website, please.
Please.
So please come and visit. There are lots of great tools, lots of education. We have just about anything that you need on our website. You can look up any business, you can look up licensees, and there's lots of good COVID-related information as well.
Kathy Blumenfeld is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. Important issues. I want to thank you so much for coming on this Wisconsin Eye show. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Steve.
Thank
Take
you.
Care
thank
and
you.
Be well.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
You
too.
Hi, I'm John Hankins.
Bye-bye.
President of Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. And I'm speaking to you today to ask for your financial support. For 14 years, Wisconsin Eye has provided uninterrupted, gavel-to-gavel live coverage from our state capitol, the legislature, the Supreme Court, the governor's office. We're proud to continue to do that and continue through this time of crisis with important coverage. We are 100% committed to bringing these important meetings into your home or place of work. We've created online pathways that allow us to connect you live with these important events. But Wisconsin Eye needs your help to do so. At this time, we are facing unprecedented staffing, technical, and financial challenge. So if you rely on our coverage to stay informed on issues you care and need to know about, I ask that you consider a one-time charitable gift today to help us through this challenge. Whether you're following the DHS briefings, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, or leadership briefings from the state capitol, or any of the timely interviews conducted by our senior producer, Steve Walters, we could use your support today. If just a fraction of the thousands who value Wisconsin Eye coverage say yes with a gift of any size, it will provide a huge boost. So thank you. To donate, please text WISEY to 44321. That's WISEYE to 44321, or visit wisei.org/donate. WISEYE.org/donate. Or you could send a check to 122 West Washington Avenue, Suite 200, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. Again, thank you so much. Please be safe. Stay optimistic. We are Wisconsin.